Internet, I'm Mark. He's John. This is the Enthusiastic Cast, the web show where we endorse one awesome book. This week, I'm enthusiastic about Alfred Bester's The Stars My Destination, a.k.a. Tiger Tiger. John, years ago, I read and loved Bester's The Demolished Man. It's up there in my 10 favorite books of all time, if you can believe that. But in preparation for this show, I was afraid to go back and reread it. I was like, it's on this pedestal. I put it on this pedestal. I was filled with unease about approaching it again. And frankly, there's just, you know, too many great books out there to take the time to double dip often. Now, we talked about this earlier this week, and you admitted that you were a fearless rereader of comics. You rewatch movies and television. You sometimes reread novels. So the question that I wanted to bring to the table before we get to the main endorsement was, what kind of stakes do you consider before revisiting a work on the page or on screen, and what experiences, positive or negative, have you had when you've gone back?
Well, it's mainly a time factor that keeps me from rereading books more. I reread comics more and I rewatch movies more simply because it's a much quicker experience. With comics, even, you know, longer ones, it's much easier to dip into something. And there's also, I find the art there's much more there. I can relook at the art. I can look at it further and I can find more in it than I did the first time as I skimmed through it more quickly, where it's more difficult to do that with a book. I mean, the other thing is, anything from your childhood, I think, is almost off limits at this stage in the game. I'm never going to go back and read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the way that I read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when I was 8 or 10 or whatever it was when I read that. You know, like, it's not going to happen. And I have, in fact, found watching some movies from my childhood, they've really suffered as time goes on. And I kind of regret that. Tron Legacy is coming up this Christmas, and I'm super excited for that because Tron was, you know, one of my geekgasm movies as a young 8 or 9 or 10 year old, and I've been thinking of trying to find a DVD copy that I can show to my kids, but at the same time I'm afraid to watch it because I just suspect that the movie that's in my head bears no resemblance to the movie that's on the screen. And the same thing goes for books right up, I think, even into my 20s. High Fidelity, one of my favorite books that I read when I was in my 20s. I don't think that I want to go back and read that book now because I was a callow young man then, and it's about a callow young man, but I'm not now, and I kind of feel I'd just be sitting there going, buck up, you asshole, and you know, and also, you know, hating myself, going, Jesus Christ, I related to this guy. So I think there's a lot of stuff like that. I think one thing that you can safely go back to in books again and again is kids or young adult books that you read as an adult. Like, I think the Harry Potter books are books that I can go back to again and again because I read them when I was an adult. And so I think my impressions of them is clear. I think young people who have read them in the last 10 years, who read them as young people, are probably going to have a tougher time going back to those books than I will, because they're going to mean different things to them. They're going to hold a different place for them.
Now, has the opposite worked for you? Like, did you try and, I don't know, read Tale of Two Cities when you were 13 and then have, like, since rediscovered it?
No, I read very juvenile things when I was a kid. there was nothing that really put me off. And in fact, I also, you know, I've held very, very tightly to the opinions I had when I was a kid. So anything I read, even if, you know, the problem was me and not the book, I've just, like, judged that book harshly for all eternity and will now never read it.
So I just had the experience. So Jose Saramago died in the middle of June. I mentioned on Twitter that I had used to hand sell his 1996 novel Blindness like no one's business when I was a bookseller.
Right.
And so someone challenged me on that and was just like, okay, so is Blindness like the one that I should take on? And I was like, oh, well, I held that opinion 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if I hold it now. So so that prompted me to reread it, and I was like, huh, not blowing my mind the way that it did the first time, right? And then that started this whole dialogue about why that was and whether or not that was factors internal to me. You know, if I just hadn't read a lot, and so like the allegorical aspects in Blindness, you know, it seemed novel when they really weren't, or if it was like more of a external thing in that novel kind of talks about societal fear and reaction to kind of like a major event, and now kind of post 9/11,
right.
It reads differently, you know, and so I was really torn about it, and that just, of course, reinforced my pre-held opinion that I should never go back. So I'm not any more tempted now than I was pre-Blindness, but it's kind of a shame.
I think so. You were 96, so we're talking, not to date you, but you know, late teens, early 20s.
So he wrote it in 96. It was translated in 97, and I would have read it in 99.
Okay.
Probably. So,
early 20s.
Yeah. So yeah, I was out of high school.
I don't know. That's still a volatile time. That's still, I you know, just for me, and I think for you know, everybody I know, your opinions are still being formed. And so anything that you experience in that time, you know, revisit with caution. Absolutely. Why fuck with your memories? You know, I mean, I kind of wish that I could get the warm glow of Star Wars back, you know, because that was like a happy thing that I just fucked up with prequels and rewatching the original and just all of that stuff.
You fucked it up, Lucas, you asshole.
Hey, he didn't hold a gun to my head.
Okay, let's.
What do you got on the table for us?
Okay, all right, let's move on. So, off the top of the show, I mentioned that I also, you know, about 10 years ago, I guess, read Alfred Bester's 1953 police procedural, The Demolished Man. Blew my mind. Like, absolutely loved it. And I didn't know it at the time, and really, like, I don't know how many people do know this, but, like, Bester is kind of up there, like, he's a bit of a legend in sci-fi circles, like, up there with Heinlein and Clark and Bradbury and the whole deal. And, you know, I guess The Demolished Man won the very, very first Hugo Award. So, like, have you ever heard of this guy?
Well, you put that book in my hands, actually. I don't know if you remember that, but you gave me a copy of that book and said, you have to read this. And I did. I left it on a shelf, like, long enough to, like, maintain my pride. Fuck you, I have to read it. I'm not going to read it.
That's probably why I couldn't find my copy.
No, I think you bought me a new one. But anyway.
I've gifted that book to several people because I was just like, man, and especially like sci-fi readers who are like big like genre geeks in sci-fi, and I was just like, I read this book, like, have you ever heard of this guy? And they're like, no, and I was like, this is a must. So
he hasn't had the same longevity in the sort of the cultural imagination as Heinlein and Clark and Asimov and Bradbury and all those guys, but yeah, he is. I had heard of him, but I had never read him. And then, of course, I read The Demolished Man, and I really dug it. Like, it is just a great book. And it's a surprising, given when it was published, a surprisingly modern book.
Holy shit. Yeah. Okay. But, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Juno Diaz's Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
Brief Wondrous Life.
Yeah.
And in that, apparently, I was looking at references on Wikipedia, it cites the man with no face from Demolished Man.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell? Having read,
yeah, no, it gets referenced, but the length and breadth of all genre work gets referenced in Juno.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Like it's like,
so that call out's not important. Anyway.
Well, it's not any more important than anything else, right? Like he's more carpet bombing you with references in that book, right? Like it's everything.
Okay. So, not to be confused with Stallone's 1993 cinematic masterpiece,
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Dude, all restaurants are Taco Bell.
So anyway, for anyone out there that doesn't know who he is, not surprising. Random House reissued all of his stuff in kind of the late 90s, and that's kind of when I got my hands on the Demolish Man and devoured it. So he wrote sparingly. Like, he had kind of a period in the early 50s where he wrote Demolished, and then he wrote Stars, the one that I'm going to talk about. And then didn't really write anything until the mid-70s. And so, he's got a collection of short stories from his early period and some novels and some short stories from his later period. But, the 5-6 books does not match the output of Bradbury or Heinlein.
Right.
Can't even hold a match to that stuff. So.
So what's this book about? And is it as good as? Is it better? Is it, a worthy companion to Demolish?
Okay, so normally I have like a really laggy lead in, and then you hit me with like what is the book about thing, and I'm always like, can we save that because I want to talk about other stuff. So basically I'll skip ahead and I'll be like, okay, so it's a revenge story. It's revenge stories told in two parts. So in the first part, imagine kind of the Hulk on an interstellar rampage. And okay. In the second part, imagine kind of like Bruce Banner playing the lead in the Count of Monte Cristo, kind of set in the Cold War era.
Okay.
Okay. So the main character is this guy named Gully Foyle, and he's the sole survivor of a space battle, and so he's adrift in this burned out spaceship, and he has his side has the opportunity to rescue him, and they don't, and so he goes on this mission of revenge to kind of find out why. So he survives, obviously, and then he's just like, why didn't you rescue me? And that provides the whole narrative thrust of the stuff. So, is it better than Demolish Man? There's this pull quote on the cover of the edition that I've got, by Sam Delaney. And I haven't read any Sam Delaney, so I don't know, what he's all about, but it's also repeated in Wikipedia. And it's just like, this is perhaps the greatest sci-fi novel of all time.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say so myself, but I wouldn't argue with someone if they made that claim. Let's put it
right
that way.
You wouldn't be just like, you're crazy and an idiot.
Yeah. But
so you think there's grounds there?
Yeah, absolutely. So is it better than Demolish Man? Yes and no, right? So Demolish Man is just like kind of balls out awesome, in my opinion. It's kind of like a John Woo film in a way. It's got like the good guy and the bad guy, and they just kind of war during the whole thing, right?
Right.
I don't know if you remember it, but it's...
Yeah.
Okay, so... And then, Stars is more complicated because the main character is just kind of like, he's just kind of a blunt object.
Right.
Right, and so Bastard uses the supporting cast of characters to kind of give the story thematic resonance. And so that makes the story arc weaker, but it also is more complicated and more interesting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's trying to say more in Stars. So.
Okay.
Wow. So
he's fairly ambitious and Demolished.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah. So, okay. So I just kind of quickly jotted down kind of three things, to kind of set the endorsement up, right? And so this pretty much amounts to my endorsement. So a couple things you should know. One, Bastard worked at DC Comics, before he wrote sci-fi. So in the 30s through the 40s, he was at DC. So he worked on Superman, Green Lantern. I think he also touched The Phantom, if that's a DC property. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it was at the time.
Yeah. Second thing, he did some radio and TV work. And he was also kind of like a sophisticated traveler, right? So, you know, later in his career, he was actually the editor of like a high-end travel magazine. So, so those are just kind of two things from his bio, and they are important because they're kind of inform three things about his work. And so, one, he writes in this like fast visual style. That has amazing economy. And you know that from reading Demolish, because that's like fucking really quick.
And that's, I think that's what I was referring to when I said I felt really modern.
Like, well, okay, I've actually listed that as a separate point. So he gives, so in the economy part, like he gives you character or setting or whatever in two or three lines, and it has this like breezy quality to it. And it reminded me a lot of like Chandler and Dashiell Hammett and even like Giles Blunt, who was also a TV writer. Like he's able to sketch character really quickly.
Yes.
And so, okay. And then the timelessness part of it, right? So, Neil Gaiman wrote the introduction to the edition that I've got, and he mentions this, and he's just like he calls stars a precursor to the cyberpunk era as well, but I'll get to that in a second. So he's got this like stylistically, it's really current, really modern, and normally when you say that about a sci-fi novel, that like refers to the prescience of it. But in a way, it's really ageless, not because of like what he has to say about technology or society or anything like that. It's like the style of it. And so when Gaiman calls him out and he's just like, in a way, you know, this is like the first cyberpunk novel written in 1956. It's got like an amoral hero. It's got like multinational intrigue. It's got, you know, a technological super frightening MacGuffin, you know, he's just like, oh, and it's got like a kick-ass woman thief. So
it totally is the cyberpunk novel.
Yeah. And so, and then stylistically, it kind of hits those beats as well. Totally could have been written yesterday. And I feel that way about Demolish Man as well. So kind of remarkable because, you know, sci-fi doesn't normally age that well. In my experience, but then again, I'm not like a widely read sci-fi person.
The best stuff does.
Yeah. And that's kind of, yeah. So, and then third, and this ties back into the travel bit from his bio, he writes about kind of privileged high society really, really well. And so in both Demolished and Stars, he takes you to kind of like this slice of the upper crust of society. And like, not only paints the characters really well, but like makes that really believable, right? And so, much like, you know, for people that haven't read Bester or whatever, like much like the guy in Blade Runner, the guy that runs the cyber factory or whatever,
yeah,
it's just like it's this really rarefied part of society, and so in that
Demolish
way,
and there's that party game that they play, which is all part of his thing, his plot. But that whole scene, I felt really captured the idle rich, really, yeah. Really well.
Yeah. And so like having that experience reinforced reading Stars, I was just kind of like, this is like he's kind of like sci-fi's Fitzgerald, right? Like,
well put.
Yeah, like, you know, and obviously he's got way more influences here, and he's drawing really, strongly from Dumas. But yeah, like between Chandler and Fitzgerald and Counting Monte Cristo, like, and then comic books and all set in space and in the future. It really comes together in this like unique package that is all Bester. And I can draw out these influences and stuff, but they, you know, they don't capture the whole thing. So,
man, those are all some of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, you should buy me a copy of this book.
I will give you my copy for sure. And then I will write it down and know that you have it, because I have got audio evidence, my friend, that I'm going to give it to you. So
it's on the web.
If people are out there, you know, and they're looking for, kind of, I don't know, is high sci-fi kind of a thing? I just made that up. So
it's mad. That works.
It's like literary sci-fi. Demolish Man is a great place to start. And I'm just saying that because I started there. But the Stars My Destination is fucking totally amazing as well. So that's awesome. My endorsement for the week.
And I think that's a good place to end it. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can find show notes with links to more about everything we discussed in this episode, plus more episodes and assorted other reviews at our website, enthusiasticast.com. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to the show through our RSS feed. Until then, I'm John.
And I'm Mark.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.